Hey, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Who Is My Doctor?
Who is my doctor?
Who is indeed? I'm your host, Zach, and I know a lot about Doctor Who.
And I'm also your host, Cassie, and I know just enough to still be cool.
Cassie, you're on a Doctor Who podcast. You are absolutely
just
not
enough
cool.
To still be cool.
And today we're watching Series 6, Episodes 5 and 6, The Rebel Flesh and the Almost People.
The Rebel Flesh.
Yes, your Rebel Flesh.
I'm really glad you got that. That was my Palpatine impression. Just enough to still be cool,
Zach. I like that this season of the show is marked by us doing terrible impressions.
Oh, what are you talking about? My Palpatine is great.
Yeah.
Do it. Batman.
Bailey, quit scratching at the door.
Bailey! They're from a sitcom, I swear.
Stop it. Don't do it.
Do it. The Rebel Alliance. I mean, I guess that might be more of like an... never mind. I was going to name a Muppet, but I couldn't remember which one. So I was going to say Uncle Deadly, but that's not Uncle Deadly.
No, it's not Uncle Deadly. So what might you be expecting from episodes called The Rebel Flesh and the Almost People?
I'm expecting skin that will not obey, baby.
This skin just don't quit.
Like my 82-year-old grandma that looked like she was 66 until she died. She just will not quit. Rebel Flesh.
The Rebel Flesh and the Almost People is also my 80s glam rock band.
I do like the phrase, the almost people, because mm-hmm. That's how I feel about myself like 92% of the time. So I'm almost people. So,
Cassie, are you in this? Are you in the next episode?
Shh, no.
I certainly feel like the almost people has like a horror movie vibe to it.
It, because the Rebel Flesh and Almost People do bring me into a, this could be like an Uncanny Valley mm-hmm. thing where it's like, this is like, you're almost there.
Mm-hmm.
Like an alien race that is like trying to pass as human, but
their nose is a little too far down or.
Yeah. Like ears are just slightly too small or like skin is just a little too shiny.
Yeah. It's like I'm on observation duty where things just mess off. Things are just a little bit off.
Yeah. I'm thinking about like there's that makeup trend for a while on TikTok where it was like you make yourself look like an NPC of a game.
Mm-hmm.
But in doing so, you like slightly elongate like the lines in your mouth and like add extra highlight or white eyeliner like right underneath your eye just to make your eyes look a little just little things like that. Practical.
They're called the almost people because they permanently have a TikTok filter on them.
Yeah. It's not a filter though. It's a like makeup thing. Mm-hmm. It's practical.
Oh, okay.
Now do I think that this will employ that? Probably not, because this was 2011 and this was a makeup trend from like 10 years after that. Would be very surprising, but that's what I think of when I hear the term almost people, where mm-hmm. it is that uncanny valley, like it's right, but it's not correct, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. So, well, I will let you know, and this is relevant to the prophecy, that's why I'm telling you, that this deals with a creature that, I shouldn't say a creature, I mean, how did I phrase it in my question?
A critter, a varmint.
Beings, I suppose, maybe a way of doing it, that beings that are effectively copies of a person. Like they're not the original person, but
like
they
are. Like a photocopy?
You'll see in the episode. But I will let you know that to differentiate them from the humans, they give them a different name. Basically, it's just like a, I don't know if you want to call it a pejorative, but it's certainly a generalization to delineate them. Do they call them Doppels? Gangers or ringers?
See, now I was very quickly in my head being like, all right, if they're humans but they're not humans, what are the letters for human? Let me move those around real fast. Did not for a second think of the term doppelganger.
Those names were taken from doppelgangers and dead ringers, so it's doppels, gangers, or ringers.
So I'm liking the terms doppels or ringers the most, because gangers sounds a little too dumb.
You gotta remember, you gotta say it with a British accent.
Gangers. Doppels, gangers, or ringers. Doppels, gangers, or ringers. I don't know. They're all dumb.
So is the show. So pick the one that you think is the most.
I
know,
well, because I have singled out gangers, there is a part of me that's like, because I like the idea of picking ones that I know, if I can single out an answer, typically then if I pick that answer and I'm correct, I'm even more happy. But if it's between two and I pick one and I'm incorrect in that, I would rather be very incorrect than like almost. It's kind of like with the Olympics where if you get gold, you're like, I'm top of the world. And if you get bronze, you're like, damn, I'm just happy to be here. But if you're silver, you're just like, I could have been almost the best.
I could have been a winner instead of a bum, which is what I am.
Yeah. But then if you're in third, you're just like, hey, I made it. I'm just happy to be here. Thank you so much for including me.
So I like how you've come up with your own little rules for this dumb made up game we play.
Yeah, it just makes it easier because I get really upset with myself if I'm if I have a 50-50 chance to get it correct and I'm very wrong.
Yeah. So which one are you going with?
I'm going with gangers then. Alrighty. Because that's the only one I've been able to single out and I think it's stupid.
Alrighty. So Cassie thinks that the almost people are called gangers in these episodes. And then at the end of this episode, one of our core trio is revealed to have a copy of their own. Which do you think it is?
Rory.
It's Rory.
He was the first one that came up.
Okay.
In my little brain.
Okay.
Because the show really likes making Rory feel bad about himself. Poor fool.
Well, let's find out together if the almost people are called gangers and if one of them is Rory as we watch The Rebel Flesh. Yeah. This episode of Who Is My Doctor is brought to you by me getting hit by a train. What? That can't be right. Right? Why would we let that be a sponsor? How would you even get a train in my office? Oh. Oh God. Back to the episode. Hurry. Hurry. Get back to the episode. And we are back from the Rebel Flesh.
To quote myself from the ending of the episode.
It's like one of the little squirrels from Sword in the Stone.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was the Rebel Flesh featuring some sentient blobfish people.
So I know we said sourdough starter. Pancake batter was another good one.
Ted Cruz.
Zodiac killer Ted Cruz.
It's a very unusual episode. I don't feel like this has the same tone as even other like dark episodes of Doctor Who. You know what I mean? Like this,
because this does, and I'm sure that I'll get more into it in the last part of the episode, but this brings in a question of both morality and mortality in an interesting way.
Yeah, I really like this, like the philosophical debate of it in a sense where it's like, what is the difference between memories that are real and made up?
Yes.
Because in this case, the memories that this person, that the gangers have, by the way, you get a point for gangers.
For gangers.
The memories that they have are implanted, their recreation of the memories, but they're a perfect recreation of the memories, and therefore they're effectively the same as the real people. And memories are an already intangible thing.
Like especially because I had mentioned it when I think it's Jennifer saying that she remembers every birthday. It's like
I don't remember every birthday.
I don't. I remember specific birthdays that were rooted in, like, there was one birthday I'd had where it was either right before or right after I'd had one of my surgeries. Because when I was a child, I would get these like massive cysts that needed to be removed because they were like, this is unusual for a child. So I would frequently as a kid, I would have to get surgery and it was very traumatic and very scary for me. So I remember one year in particular, it was like one of the only years where my mom had like actually had like a birthday party for me. And she made me a Blue's Clues themed birthday cake, which was just a round cake with like four little cupcakes around. And I remember that one very specifically because of the birthday cake. And it's because I also think that there's something to be said of like, you remember more things when you have photographs of them because you have the tangible memory of before and after the photo was taken. So the photo was like a shortcut to that memory. And this was one where like there was no photo of the birthday cake. I just remember being over the moon that I got a Blue's Clues birthday cake. But that was when I was like six. That was more than 20 years ago. Do I remember any other birthday between then and now? Like some, but I don't have a perfect memory of that. And it would be very freaky if I was like, yes, I remember exactly who's there. It was my aunt and my uncle and my grandpapa and grandmama.
Yeah, it was a part of it where like in trying to make the gangers more like sympathetic where they're like, I remember all of these things. I remember more all the birthdays. Human. I remember all the childhood illnesses. I'm like, now I'm suspicious of you. We don't remember stuff like that.
Well, it's the, in the
granted,
attempt,
part of that could be that we're millennials and our brains are just a little cooked by the trauma of reality, but who knows?
Well, cause there's also something to be said of if you're trying to pass as human, something that is very human is memory loss. And so being like, I remember everything that happened. It's like, that's not normal. Now there are the like few exceptions of people that do have perfect memories of whatever. There's this like, there's this one woman that can recite every page out of the video I watched was the first Harry Potter book. So there's somebody who's quizzing her and opens up to page like
394.
Yeah, sure. And she can tell you exactly like how that page starts.
Oh, wow.
It's a little scary, but very remarkable. But it's also like, yeah, you have the freaky things like that. That's very human. But also like remembering everything about yourself. And if she, I don't know her. I can bet that she probably doesn't remember every single day of every day of her life for the past 30 years.
It does seem weird that Jennifer is the one that's the most like prone to violence, I guess. If only because her ganger
prone
was
prone to violence. Are you talking about Cleves?
No, I'm talking about Jennifer was the one that like punched through a door to punch Rory in the face and then like stretched her head out to be like, leave us alone. And I'm like, Jennifer, he's been nothing but nice to you literally the entire time. Why are you acting like this?
I thought you were talking about Cleves, who whips out.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Human Cleves is very much like also like, why are you doing this? They're all in a room talking. Why are you acting this way?
Why do you pull out a juiced up taser?
Yeah, it's Human Cleves and Doppel Jennifer, where I'm just like, why are both of you acting like this?
Relax,
like,
ladies.
I almost think it should be reversed, where it's like Human Jennifer is like is the most scared because the person that was, you know, Rory thought he was comforting Human Jennifer, but he's been comforting Ganger Jennifer the whole time. So there's a part of it where it's like Jennifer has had no Human Jennifer has had no reinforcement and is probably perfectly frightened, especially given some of the
even more scared.
Yeah. Given some of the history we get from Ganger Jennifer was that young Jennifer grew up scared and afraid and always wanted a braver version of herself. Meanwhile, Ganger Jennifer has been given nothing but kindness from Rory the entire time. And is also like, now we go to war. It's us and them. I'm like, why? Why are we doing this?
I recognize, and it could just be that I'm tired of hearing the us versus them mentality.
Yeah.
And I think that that's my only beef so far is I fucking hate us v them.
Yeah.
And it could simply be because that's just...
That's the political climate we live in right
now.
That's
my everyday life.
Yeah. It's also that message isn't for us. Like, we're already well past that, like, that moral teaching to us. That we're like, yeah, we shouldn't...
We're not even past it. We are in the thick of it.
That's what I mean. You and I have had that, like, philosophical debate so often that you and I know our stance on the us versus them, you know, situation. We're like... Generally not very good. Probably shouldn't do us versus them in most cases unless the them is Nazis. That's kind of the long and short of it.
Yeah.
Beyond that, we're like, no, probably shouldn't be us versus them in any capacity beyond Nazis. For us, it's a little bit like, we've seen this already.
Well, because using the term Nazis is also like, because that is also the like us versus them. In context of Nazis is like, yeah, that started in the 1940s. I feel like us versus them now is like everybody versus the 1%.
You know, you're not wrong.
And like
it just happens that a lot of the 1% are also Nazis.
It's like the 1% and then the like what I will just refer to as the faux 1%.
Because one of my favorite things that someone
the was wannabe percent.
There was someone who was saying that they worked for a lot of. They were like a personal assistant to 1%ers. And they were saying that one thing that that you really get from them is that they really do believe they're the descendants of pharaohs and they have been God chosen to be the leaders of society. And you're like, oh, they are insane.
Turns out money makes you a little crazy.
Money does make you a little
and
crazy.
And also acid makes you a little crazy.
I do like that episode where he like falls in the acid and they're like, oh, man, that suit's expensive. I know. I got to drag you out of there. You already lost your legs. And the guy's like, man, yep, just lost my heart. That sucks.
That's how I feel when bad things just start piling on top of me. Like, oh, man, my car is gone. Aw, my family. They're all so sad. Aw, I lost my job. Oh, well.
That's my car's expensive.
Yeah.
So you got 1 point for the last episode because you were correct. They are called gangers. However, the ganger of our original trio was not Rory. It was the doctor because the doctor stuck his hand in the vat of pancake batter.
What a dummy.
And so at the end of this episode, we do see a blobfish doctor. Complete with bow tie and shoes.
I was really hoping that we were just going to get the surprise of the other ganger doctor just appearing. And the big difference is to pay attention if they have shoes or not.
I mean, they are wearing different shoes.
Okay, but it's not like, oh, the shoes are bright red. They glow in the dark. They make squeak sounds when the doctor walks. Like, they're just boots.
God, how excited would the TARDIS be if she found out she had two doctors?
How excited would the TARDIS be if she found out she could put the doctor in Lightning McQueen sneakers?
In Heelys.
Oh, my God. Heelys. Lights in them.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the Profassi for the next episode, starting with our new Doppel Doctor. At the start of this episode, he's going to be unstable due to an aspect of the Doctor. Can you guess what that aspect is?
Unstable due to an aspect of the doctor.
Yeah, it's not. So I just want to make it clear that it's not like, oh, the chemicals were unstable or something. No, it's specifically because he became a ganger of the doctor. Something is screwy with this Doppel Doctor.
So you said an aspect of the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Is it that he got molded in gelatin in a weird way? He has an intolerance towards Jell-O.
Someone just starts throwing apples at him to keep him away.
Do you aspic?
Oh, I did, no, aspect. Sorry.
Yeah. That was a joke for like one
I thought
person.
It was just because he was goopy. I didn't pick up on that being an aspic pun. I'm sorry. I failed
that was
you.
That was a joke for one person. That was a joke for our single audience member. And she's not here. An aspect about the doctor that is wrong.
An aspect of the doctor that causes the flesh to be unstable.
That timey-wimey
You think it's because he's a time traveler?
I think so.
Okay.
Or there's something to do with the fact that he's not human, therefore this flesh is meant to, like, replicate
human beings,
like organic DNA, and because the doctor is and isn't organic.
He's a cyborg.
Well, there's something there. I know that there has to be something to, like, the doctor's own biology. Mm-hmm. In whether it be like two hearts or him being a Time Lord and therefore being an alien but appearing human.
Okay, so you think it's we could say it's something to do with his personal biology.
Yeah, like Time Lord biology.
Okay. Okay, I'll take that. And then this is, I will say the second question is a bit of a spoiler, but I feel like it's a fun question that I'm going to let you figure it out. In this factory, we have 5 human workers. And in the second episode, 3 of them die.
Okay.
I will let you guess 3, and if you get 2 of them right, you will get the point.
I even had the thought of I should write down all of these fuckers' names.
I can give you their names if you want to.
I just remembered there's Cleats.
Cleaves.
Cleaves? I was, hey.
Yeah, you're pretty close.
Close. Yeah. Buzzer.
Buzzer.
Jennifer.
All right. And then Jimmy and Dickon are the other two names.
Jimmy. Dick. Apostrophe N.
Dickon. It's when it's V. It's when it's a vegan Dickon.
Yeah.
When they have to make sure it's legally distinct from.
I could go for a vegan Dickon.
So you have to use a cucumber for that.
Ew.
All right, so 3 of the.
I hate that joke so much.
3 of them die. I will let you guess 3, and if you get 2 of them correct, you will get the point. These are specifically the humans, not the ganger versions.
Do I get any kind of hint, or is this just?
I mean, you have a guess. You've got a pretty solid 40% chance of getting it. Who do you feel would be appropriate? Like, are there any characters that have been, like, set up to die, do you think?
Yeah, the 3 that I knew the names of.
Okay, so you.
So there is a part of me that wants to just say, I will go with those 3 then. Okay. Cleaves, Buzzer, and Jennifer. Just because we saw Buzzer die in the beginning.
Okay. So you saw Buzzer's ganger die.
Well, yeah, but even still.
So you think Buzzer himself also dies?
Who was the one with the kid?
That was Jimmy.
That was Jimmy. Okay. That would be awfully sad since he did mention
that it's about to be his son's birthday.
Yeah. So I might say it's actually Cleves, Jennifer, Jimmy.
Well, let's find out which of our 3 human factory workers die. And if the doppeldoctor is having trouble with them, 2 hearts as we watch The Almost People. And we are back from the Almost People.
To quote myself from the past 2 episodes.
Yeah, that's certainly a way to end an episode, huh?
Jeez Louise.
With the most traumatizing thing that may have happened to anybody on this show.
Oh my God.
Including Donna Noble, who had her entire mind wiped.
That's different. She's, like, none the wiser.
Yeah.
Because that's a legitimate, like, trauma I have that I've made up in my head.
As a very traumatic young fear, I would say.
Yes, a traumatic fear I have is, like, waking up one day and being just absolutely, like, horrendously pregnant. And it could be that when I was a kid and very impressionable, that's when Octomom was in the news. And I just remember looking at her and being like, I cannot imagine what it must be like to be carrying 8 parasitic fetuses.
8 little parasites, and none of them give you venom powers. It's a very interesting, like, twist that they do. They don't set it up brilliantly. Like, it's not like, oh, there are clues all along, where there is, like, oh, okay, that resolves.
That's odd that Amy is both pregnant and not pregnant. How is this happening?
Yeah, it does bring us to that conclusion in a way that I do think tracks.
It does. I just don't understand how this Amy got onto the TARDIS in the first place.
During the first 2-parter, when they were chasing around the silence, basically the silence at a switcheroo, and took the pregnant Amy and left behind flesh Amy, which flesh Amy sounds like a gross term.
Yeah.
So as you'll find out a little bit more about that in the next episode. Okay. But I can give you that answer. At least I don't feel like that's a spoiler to let you know what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Was basically when they were in America, the silence did a little switcheroo.
When they were in America.
Yeah.
Of course, it's when they're in the United States that fuckery happens.
So, yeah, what did you think about this this two-parter overall, Cassie?
No, I was just questioning my own morality.
Yeah, the philosophy of, like, how real are the flesh?
Well, because there are also times where in my everyday life, and, like, I say that I know you and I have talked about this, so this isn't, like, sensitive material. There are days where I will suddenly, like, look up from whatever I'm doing, like, pan over to you and have a brief moment of, I don't know who you are. And then my brain has to very quickly fire off every, like, receptor of being like, this is man, this is Zach, this is partner, this is my person, here we go. And then things are okay.
That's anytime you get replaced with a flesh Cassie.
That's what I'm thinking. We have so many things and so many, like, moments now where people are like, oh, there's been a timeline shift. If you've been feeling funny the past couple days, it's because you're in a different timeline now.
Somewhere, like, in this house, there's just a closet full of just, like, a Cassie pile. Like,
that. Hey, you joke, but there are times where I really do feel like that, mate. And I'm not even sure if they're in this dimension, which is why I can't see them.
I hide them in another dimension.
Don't you fucking joke like that, though, dude. This is me being dead ass serious right now.
That's the sound in our vents. Is just
stop it. No, because there's always a pitter pattering up in the fucking vent, and I can never tell if it's an animal or if there are some vent flaps up there that I don't know what they look like or how they operate because it's on the fucking roof and I can't see that. I have been home alone sometimes and I hear the little. I'm like,
that's the sound of the big Cassie ball. Remember that big flesh mound that was in this episode that was just rotting alive in the corner,
they're looking unspeaking.
Yeah, that's what I have. I put that in the vents. It's all Cassie though. That's what happens when you lose a point. I kill another one of you and stick it in the mound.
Zach, don't even fucking joke about this stuff. I'm being so serious right now. But, like, there are moments in my everyday life where it occurs to me that I have gone from point A to point B, but have no memory of it. And then I really do have to wonder, is that mental illness? Is that disassociation? Is that me jumping into another body?
Are you quantum leaping?
Yeah, well, it's a book by Matt Sieg. It's called The Midnight Library. And it is the story of a girl, spoiler alert, she kills herself.
Cry a river and drown the whole world. But while she looks so sad in photographs.
Focus, Zach. Like, spoiler alert, she kills herself. But then when she wakes up and she's in the Midnight Library, where she can just open up a book to one of her other, like, timelines, like one of her other lives, and then just, like, jump into that body.
Mm-hmm.
And I oftentimes will have moments where I'm, like, disassociating. I, like, come back and I'm like, oh, okay, I'm here now. What's going on? I'm like, I don't think that's a fiction story, but what if it's,
what if it was a shift change on the hotel in your mind?
What if you're not wrong?
So, yeah, I do think there are some interesting philosophical questions to have here. Granted, they're philosophical questions that don't necessarily apply to real life, which is something.
You say that because you're a hater, but.
Well, I mean, there is no like flesh creature that will ever have all of your exact memories.
Not yet.
Well, even then, like, we're talking about the right now times. So there is a part where it's okay. Like, it's so specific.
I want to tell you a little bit something about time. Time is it's not a form of fist. It's a wibbly wobbly. It's happening all the time. Time is just one big thing that is going on forever and ever, looping inwards and backwards on itself.
Yeah, big ball of wibbly wobbly timey wimey stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that there is something interesting about the what makes something a person.
Well, that's also a conversation that I have with myself a mm-hmm. lot of like what it means. And I think it's a conversation we have had during this podcast of what it means to be human.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause they have several times where they talk on that. I do like that. While there is this like debate over the memory thing, the episode does still find a point that is unrelated to that, where the ultimate point seems to be the moment of humanity is empathy. Because Jimmy is really the one who has what they call the moment of humanity.
Yeah.
And it's when he's looking at Adam and he's realizing that it's not just about his own feelings for Adam. It's that other Jimmy, human Jimmy, shares these same emotions. And he's like, oh, fuck, I've hurt. Like, Adam's not going to know the difference, but it matters to Jimmy that the other Jimmy is missing out on this moment with his son.
Until human Jimmy
is dead.
Is dying because he has acid straight to the heart.
Yeah.
And you're to blame. You give love a bad name.
And then, yeah, because his name is, I don't know. I was going to do a joke there and I lost it.
I took your whole joke from you, baby.
You give love a bad name, and also you give your child bad acting lessons.
Hey, that kid knew how to act. He was shifting around like a real kid would. Daddy, you're back.
Yeah, it was weird. He had the physicality down pretty well. Like
that's just a kid. That's a kid being a kid.
Yeah.
They filmed that at a Chuck E. Cheese where kids can be kids.
He's got like this wide legged stance and his hands are like constantly twisting and folding over his
t-shirt.
ADHD. Yeah. But then he starts speaking and that's when you're like, oh no.
Well, on the phone, it makes sense because you're like, oh, okay, yeah. Like everybody's awkward sounding on the phone.
Yeah.
Daddy.
Where's my daddy? Are you my mummy?
Daddy, it's my birthday. I've opened up all my presents.
Yeah, and then, but then when he shows up on the beach with Jimmy and he's like, Daddy, you're back.
Dad, I was saying earlier, it's like my favorite scene in Twilight, my favorite line delivery. It's not a whole scene, but it's Bella pulling up to the police station. Everybody's there and she goes, oh no. What is going on?
I can't say I remember that exact.
I'll pull it up for you. It's my favorite. I know exactly where it is.
It's pretty good.
Hey, I guess that's what we're watching after. We'll watch some real acting with some real flesh.
Yeah, the only real hiccups I had was some things in the episode felt a little weird. Like
the episode all to get this story. Some
of the choices characters were making just felt odd. And some of that I think might be like plot related, like overall plot related. Like the main thing that gets me is it felt really weird that Amy was the one being like, I don't trust the gangers. That felt more like something Rory would do. Because Rory is the one who is way more like iffy about the sci-fi adventure stuff. And Amy's the one who's a little more gung-ho. So it really felt like Amy should be the one who's like pitching on the side of the gangers. And Rory's like, I don't think so.
I wonder if they did that just to throw us off of the scent.
Well, I do wonder if that was if there was something like in Flesh Amy's programming that would try to throw them off the scent. You know,
I agree and I disagree.
Yeah,
or I agree with you on that front.
Mm-hmm.
But the disagreement is the since this is also a Flesh Amy, then I think that it's intentional. It's intentional. This is the one time I will ever defend the show.
Yeah, I do think it's in the moment it feels strange, but I think at the end it sort of comes back and there's at least a part of you that can accept it.
Because it's also it was more odd to me the fact that Rory does jump to the aid of Jennifer so quickly.
Yeah. So and it's partly the actress. I don't know if it's the actress's fault or the direction she was given. There are times where whether she's playing Flesh Jennifer or human Jennifer, she just looks genuinely deranged and insane. And I'm like, you have crazy eyes. I don't want to go anywhere near you.
Do I have crazy eyes?
No, you don't have crazy eyes. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of I like that. I like the it had an interesting setting because it's both a factory and a monastery.
I I forgot that it was, we were in a monastery.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is a silly setting. But then when they were like, oh, yes, the catacombs, I went, oh, monastery is a fun place to set a show, isn't it?
Yeah, but because it's a half monastery, half factory, it's this like there's like this combination of aesthetics where there's like this really, really old stone. But then there's also new pipes that say,
yeah, there's this really, really old stone. And then there are these new eyeballs popping out of the stone. Oh,
God, the eyeballs. Why were they so big?
Why not?
Because they're supposed
eyeballs are large. Isolated, not inside of a body.
Right, but that's the thing is they're supposed to be replicated from the people. They didn't just like make giant eyeballs.
Maybe it's because that's like they didn't have enough like substance to make a whole body, so the eyes just they decided on the spot. You know what? We'll just be really creepy, so, large eyes.
This was the first time watching it where I picked up that Flesh Jennifer is making those eyeballs on the wall.
Yeah,
there's a part where she like sticks her
gross little finger.
Yeah, she and so I wonder if there's a part of her that she's like whispering to them, make a really big eyeball so that I don't want them to miss it. I'm putting a lot of it's a real Dungeon Master vibe of like I'm putting a lot of work.
Well,
into
you
this.
Just said she has crazy eyes.
Yeah, she put a whole bunch of them on the wall.
Yeah.
And they were all just like staring like there was no purpose to that other than to freak them out.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it doesn't seem that they formed out of the wall.
Yeah. They didn't have a hand. They couldn't say anything. All they could do is
could you imagine if there were other body parts like in the Phantom of the Opera with the arm chandeliers? Although that I want some so bad up and down the scary hallway. Yeah,
there's
be great.
Like arm chandeliers and eyeballs staring. And then if you look just a little bit lower, there's just a full dick hanging off the wall.
I'd fuck it.
It's the reverse of a glory hole. It's a dildor.
A dildor is pretty good.
That's my favorite character in The Hobbit.
This is a wonderful segue. Hey, Zach, what would you do if you met a copy of yourself? Because I
take
really,
a few days off work.
I really, really liked just how quickly the doctor... And we'll just say the doctor and Smith,
mm-hmm.
because they do give each other different names. How quickly they're just like, doctor, doctor.
I do like that every time he said, call me Smith, you went, Matt Smith.
That's just a missed joke. It's such a funny joke.
I do think that's why instead of just saying, you might as well just call me John Smith, they do say, you might as well call me Smith. And then remind you this is the doctor, not the actor playing the doctor. And so they say John Smith, because that is what the doctor's like human name is.
He could have picked another boring human name.
Because he says Smith twice. He doesn't just say, call me John Smith. He says, call me Smith, John Smith. He does it twice. He does it once to Amy. He does it once to the gangers. I do really enjoy that. I think it's a really funny bit.
But yeah, I really like, though, how quickly the doctor and Smith they don't have qualms with one another.
Yeah.
They're just, excellent.
And because
let's use this to study ourselves.
And because they don't have qualms, it seems like the humans forget to have an issue with him for so long. Like they move through several rooms, have a lot of conversations, hang out together. And then he's like, oh, and then they're all like, oh, right. You're a ganger. We don't trust you. Sit on this barrel, fake doctor.
Sit on the barrel
and be judged, doctor.
Yeah.
We're going to sit here and think about what you did being born from goo.
Ooh.
Ooh, goo.
Yeah, I mean, we're all born from goo and kind of. See, now, if I met myself, I would just sit on the couch and make a podcast. I would love a day with me.
You call it like talking to yourself or something.
Oh, my God. I just put a mirror. You come home. There's a mirror sitting on the couch. It's just me talking to myself.
It would be.
Do you want to hear something really kind of sad and deranged the other day?
What's that?
So I was in a dark place. I wasn't feeling too good. So I realized I could text myself and then I would go in and delete the other messages. So that way it was like I was having a conversation with myself. And I was answering back and then delete, like keeping the appropriate like call and or like text and then responses and then mm-hmm. deleting the others. Because when you text yourself, it sends it out. And then it also says like, oh, message received.
Yeah.
So I was having a full blown
having self-therapy.
Yes.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that. If it works for you, it works.
It's the fact that I went through and deleted the opposite messages so that way I could go back in and go.
Well, that's just your ADHD at work. You needed it to be clean.
But that's what I would do. I would just sit down. I would make myself a cup of coffee because I know exactly how I like it. That was the other thing, too, is I really liked at some point Cleves was just like, yeah, that's exactly what I would do.
Yeah.
We're the same person. Yeah. She's so smart.
Yeah. When Cleves texted a password so that wasn't said over the intercom, she's like, oh, she's good. It's too bad that we share a brain and therefore I know exactly what the choice would be.
Bad boy.
I do feel like Cleves, like the human Cleves, should have known. I can't just give a password. She'll know what I pick. I should say I'm going to give it and then have someone else pick it. But yeah. Again, that's so like nitpicky.
Something else that I recognize what it meant in this context, but it did spiral into another like side convo I was having with myself about time memories. Mm-hmm. Because we saw the scary door lady. Scary slide lady? Eye patch woman.
Her official credit is eye patch lady.
Yeah, eye patch lady. And when Amy describes it to the doctor, he says that that's just a time memory. And I went, hang on. What if every time that you experience deja vu, that's a fucking time memory too?
That's a glimpse from the Matrix.
Well, because I always had the theory of like when you experience deja vu, it's because another version of yourself has done that same thing. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, in the like billions and billions of timelines that may or may not exist. Odds are you have done the same, like you have done some of the same things. Because mm-hmm. like there will be times where I will just be doing something as simple as like washing my hands in a classroom I've never been in. Mm-hmm. And then be like, oh, this has happened before. You were also here, person I just met. Isn't this odd and bizarre that this is happening? There is no way that this is a conglomeration of like other past memories that are congealing into this moment, because I have never been here before. Because sometimes that would happen at work too. Mm-hmm. Like when I was at the cafe, I was like, that's very odd that this is happening here in the same way. But it also makes sense if every day feels the same, mm-hmm. that there are certain memories that are just kind of getting like wiped away at the end of the day because they're not too super important. But when that same thing happens again, it's like, oh, hey, this is kind of familiar. Like when you smell a perfume of somebody that you met a handful of times. Mm-hmm. So then that smell of that perfume gets like very entrenched in your brain.
In your sense memory. Mm-hmm.
Sense memory is so crazy, too. We don't have time to go into that. But another thing, though, that I was thinking about, and something that I want to see, and I think it might be fun. Maybe I will, maybe I won't. Mm-hmm. But to do a whole discussion or like a whole... Yeah, to do a whole discussion on how the doctor is the perfect antihero. Mm-hmm. Because, yes, he is like good coded. Mm-hmm. But he's also very much not always centered on doing what is right.
Well, he's so focused on doing what is right to the point where he believes that if anyone else is doing something else, they're doing something wrong. And I think one of the like a big evidence point is when he yells at Cleves for shooting the ganger, and he's like, you stopped his heart. He had a heart, a human heart. And I'm like, you understand that the reason she shot him is because he was about to leap at her. I mean, granted, she did come in wielding a weapon, but it's also like there's a give and take here. It's not as black and white as the doctor likes to see things. And the doctor often does. Speaking of anti-hero doctor, now that he knows that someone else has taken Amy and tricked him for the last 9 months, how do you think the doctor's going to handle that?
Oh my God, he's going to get so angry. He's going to pin that bitch up to the wall like he did Amy.
He's going to melt her.
Also, like, Mr. Smith. Give a girl a break. Jeez.
Something about men that play vampires throwing people against the wall for you.
Oh God. And giving directions in a stern but caring voice. Mr. Smith. We talked a little bit about him already, but Smith. Smith doctor. Not being able to fully B, because, hey, we got a little moment of the fourth Doctor coming back through.
Yeah. At the very beginning of the episode, he's struggling with the different regenerations of the Doctor,
a.k.a. Time Lord biology. I still get a point for that. I wrote down Time Lord biology.
Right,
and that's what I meant, though, is I don't know how I. Hey, I forget that regeneration is a thing that exists in this show. Okay. But when I said Time Lord biology, I meant the, like, because it's not just the Doctor that can regenerate. It is all Time Lords. That is part of their biology, their physiology.
Mm-hmm. See, it wasn't what I was going, because you had specifically framed it around the two hearts thing.
Yeah, I said something like the two hearts thing, though.
Mm.
If you're going to be an ass, I'm going to kick you in your two hearts and you see how you like it.
All right, I guess I'll give you that point. I feel like maybe if I was going to count it that way, that would have been a little too broad of a point, but I'll take it.
Hey, you were the one that specifically said, oh, like the two hearts thing, because you were trying to shoehorn me and say, yes, that's what I meant. And I did not say, that's what I meant.
You just forgot regeneration was the thing.
I always forget regeneration is the thing in the show.
Which is hilarious because...
Because 4 is my favorite. And 4 is not 11.
4 is not 11. But also we watch this on Max generally. And their image for it is of 13. So literally every time we open up the app to watch it, it just gives you a reminder regeneration is the thing. Because the characters that are on that banner, you have not met any of them yet.
I don't care the thumbnails, though. Still show Smith.
Yeah. So
I also forgot for a brief second that 10 is Tennant and Eccleston was 9. Eccleston 9. I look at them as different seasons of the show, not the same person.
Yeah, that's fair. I think it is because, there's not... In the classic show, it happened a couple times where a Doctor would regenerate mid-season, but seasons weren't as delineated as they are now. Because it was serialized, so it was more like...
It was stories, yeah, too.
So they would go on for a really long time, and so a Doctor might show up for the first story of the season, regenerate at the end of that one, and then keep going. So it is very different. So I do understand that. It's just kind of funny to me.
See, you just said you understand it. I get the point.
I'll give you the point. So I guess you get to live and not join your flesh golem in the vents.
Thank you. That's 99 points out of 158.
You got 99 problems, but
a point ain't one.
The point from last episode ain't one.
No.
So we're coming up on the first mid-season finale that the show has done. This is the first time since starting the show where the show will take a break. So we're finishing what's called Series 6A.
How long is the break?
Yeah, I think it was only like a month. It wasn't super long, but it was enough for it to really feel like the show had gone for a little bit. What might you be expecting from a mid-season finale for the show?
Mm-hmm. Well, Dwama.
Dwama. Because we did just find out that Amy's giving birth.
Yeah.
We're gonna meet Amy baby.
Yeah, Dwama.
Baby Pond.
Well, because there was also the like indication that Baby Pond was in the room when they were in the U.S. with the silence. So it'll be nice to have some of those
dots connected.
Yeah.
Okay.
I feel like Charlie in that one episode of It's Always Sunny.
Which episode?
You know which one.
Oh, with the
freaking board.
Pepe Sylvia.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully we can get you some yarn for your Pepe Sylvia board on the next episode of Who Is My Doctor?
We can't get yarn. Zach Joanne's is closing. Who is my doctor?
Who is indeed?
Devastated.
Hey, did anybody catch the number of that train that hit me? Because I have a few words for it. Like, please like and subscribe to the podcast. Maybe give us a nice review if you're feeling positive. If you'd really like to support us directly, you could find us on Patreon at patreon.com/whoismydoctor, where you can get episodes of this podcast early for as little as $1 a month. or join our wonderful Big Daddy Daleks, Andrew Blewett and David Gansel, to get a special thanks from me here in the outro. Thanks, guys. Next week is A Good Man Goes to War, and I'm going to go to the hospital. But we'll see you next Tuesday, because your Tuesdays are now whose days, Mr. Train? Those are the words I would like to give to the train, if you could deliver that message. Thank you.